Tuesday, but I want to see how long we have until Christmas. So today is the 11th. Next Tuesday is the 18th. And then the following two Tuesdays are December 25th and January 1. And as Don has just told us, the sanctuary will be closed on December 25th, because that's what we call Christmas, and January 1, because that's also a holiday, New Year's Day. So what that means is we have gentle healing this week. We have gentle healing next week. And then it's going to be 2 weeks with no gentle healing meeting. We will come back on January 8th. Now, even though there is no gentle healing meeting, there will still be gentle healing daily work. There'll still be tips, there'll still be contemplations, and there will still be meditations. So we're not taking a break from gentle healing. We are merely taking a break from the meeting because it happens to fall on a couple of holidays. So be aware that we have a meeting, obviously, tonight, because that's why we're all here. We have a meeting next week, and then we go all the way until, I think I said, January 8th. There's no meeting on December 25th, and there's no meeting on January 1. But it's not like when we went to Italy and there was no homework. There will still be the daily contemplation and meditation. So on the tips and all that fun stuff. So we're here to find out what this last week of gentle healing meant to all of y'all. And I have my participants window open, which means if you put up your hand, I can see it. So I'm excited to see who wants to get started by sharing from your gentle healing experience in the last week. When we were sound only, I felt like I could only be quiet for so long because people would say, "Is there sound?" Now that there's video, I feel like I can be quiet longer. All right, George, thank you very much. It seems like you start us off a lot of the time. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina, and hi, everyone. okay, well, my wife is actually in Florida with me this week, so I haven't, it's like I didn't really look at my notes beforehand, but I did a lot of journaling this week. That's one thing that my inner guide has shared with me, that I need to do more journaling and as much as possible on a daily basis. So let me just pick something here. On Thursday, December the 6th, you know, from Regina's tips, 303, I just made some notes here. True understanding comes from seeing. Spiritual practice is becoming the center of your life. Self-realization does not come from the intellect. Self-realization is beyond the intellect. That is the purpose of a life centered on spiritual practice. To go beyond the intellect to self-realization. So that was just some notes I jotted down from 303. So, Holy Spirit, what questions should I ask now? And the response from Inner Wisdom: look at your desire. What do you desire now? In this moment, What is your desire? In this moment, you desire understanding. As your day goes on, you are distracted by other desires. You let your ego mind chatter to lead you this way and that way. Almost as if on automatic pilot, you follow a script. Take the desire for understanding with you throughout the day. Let it draw you back again and again as your mind draws you away. Keep going back to the source of true joy and happiness. So, all right, so that was one of my journalings. And as I said, I journal just about every day this week. Dropping the mic.
Yeah, thank you, George. And, you know, that's very exciting to me because if I remember correctly, George was resistant to journaling. Is that true? Yeah. So to see you journaling every day, or at least nearly every day, that's really exciting. That actually shows an awful lot of progress, an awful lot of willingness, an awful lot of surrender, and an awful lot of trust. So I'm really, really touched that you're doing that. Thank you, George, for sharing. Is there someone else who would like to share? Let me wipe a tear. I don't know if you guys know, but every now and then I get so touched, I cry a little bit. And so I gotta wipe my tears away. Okay, Sherry, the mic is yours.
So just making sure I have the mic now.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, you do. Thank you. So I'll share about Thought of Awakening number 302, which was on Wednesday the 5th. And so the thought was, in true desire to awaken, question everything. When you hear yourself say, I like, question who likes. Is it the unlimited or limited self who speaks now? When you say, I believe, question who believes. Is it the unlimited or limited self who speaks now? Attachments are an activity of mind. Mind is the limited and definable self. What are you? And so my question was, how shall I practice today? And the inner guidance was, in addition to the above questions, also question, I think, I need, I wish, I am, such as tired or hungry. I feel, such as sad or happy, and I remember. Every time you remember to question what comes after the I thought, replace it with the remembrance of I am, and stop. Rest there. Be there. Until being anywhere but in the I am awareness presence is totally foreign, holds no appeal, and fades to only an ago. The ego fades to an ago. So I'll pass the mic.
I like that play on words with ego and ago. I hope you keep that writing for the book. Thank you very much, Sherry. That was beautiful. Really pointing out what all needs to be questioned, or at least a lot of what needs to be questioned. So thank you. Oh, is there someone else who would like to share? All right, Shauna, the mic is yours.
I was hoping somebody else would share because I have a whole half hour of my own. But for today, peace is the thought of awakening. Peace is the power that leads all things home. In peace, one finds directness. In peace, one finds surety. In peace, one finds rest. In peace, one is strength. So I asked, what is peace? And I got, peace is a symbol used to describe the indescribable. But peace can be felt physically, emotionally, and energetically. when in complete acceptance of what is. This is directly experienced when one surrenders everything in trust. Increasing peace can be felt as one purifies false beliefs that cause fear. Fear blocks total peace. Peace always is consistently present, but one must let go of all that blocks the awareness of peace. One can be sure peace is right here, right now, when attention is turned away from the chattering mind and towards awareness life. Rest in awareness life as often as you remember, and you shall know true strength. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. That's beautiful. And we look forward to your half hour. is there someone else who would like to share? And I appreciate, by the way, that you asked what is peace instead of assuming that you knew. That's beautiful. Let me share a little from the write-ins then, since I don't see a hand right now. This is from Jill. She shared a couple of really good writings. Of course, I picked one. This is from Thought of Awakening, number 306, regarding silence is stillness and stillness is silence. She says, I was in my usual space with Tibetan bells playing on my phone. With pen in hand, I was ready to get that wonderful guidance that usually comes in bursts. I wrote the first sentence, then immediately scratched it out. I had a feeling of clarity that the sentence was from the mind. So then I sat quietly, another sentence and more scratching. And again, each time feeling as if the mind was creating a thought. During the next 10 minutes, I never felt that I was receiving guidance. I started to judge myself. Why am I resisting guidance today? I put the pen down and began meditation. And there it was. Not from the mind, but the actual experience. A sensory knowing that silence is stillness and stillness is silence. Just be there. So I thought that was really beautiful because you know, sometimes it isn't about what we're learning, even what we're learning from inner wisdom, right? Sometimes, and we do need to learn a lot from inner wisdom, most of us. So I don't want to discount that type of journaling. But sometimes it isn't about that. Sometimes it's about just having that experience of peace, as Shauna was speaking about, just having that experience of silence and stillness and just being there. And, you know, one of the things I love, crying a lot tonight. You guys are really touching me. One of the things that I love, that I don't think everyone loves, at least from what people tell me, is I actually love silence with the chattering mind. And what I mean by that is when I'm in meditation on those days when the mind isn't being quiet, but somehow I touch the silence anyway. I'm not in the mind. And I'm just being, and the mind is chattering, chattering, chattering. But it's like the mind is a total object. It's not me. And I'm aware of myself as the silence, as the stillness, and the mind is not at all bothersome. I love that even because it's such a strong connection to the silence rather than the usual identity with the mind. And it's very clear in those moments that I am not the mind. The mind's over there chattering, chattering, chattering. And here I am just being. And I think that, you know, that's part of the message that we're getting as we're looking at our current thoughts of awakening. Is that silence isn't necessarily sound silence, right? Or even thought silence. Silence is the beingness that has never been affected by thought or never been affected by emotion or never been affected by sound or any sensory experience. So so that all of that can still be occurring. And yet the silence is here too. So we can get in touch with the silence without the mind or the environment having to be silent, because the silence is what we are. So sometimes, you know, just as Jill wrote, that the guidance isn't the words that might come, but it's just touching the actual experience itself. Right. So thank you very much, Jill. Is there someone else who would like to share? All right, let me share then from another write-in. This is from Joanne. She starts off, Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, teach me. And this is what came. This lesson applies to your experience yesterday. You and your husband noticed how easily you slip into debate. For example, Joe might discuss how he sees something. You might contribute another point of view. Then you each defend your individual views and it easily becomes a debate. What was really happening there? You thought you knew. You judged. And fear and worry easily follow. These are wonderful opportunities for you to practice and for you to have many of these, may you have many of these opportunities. Just listen. And practice your mantra when your mind chatters in critique and judgment. If you must say anything, use only loving words. Come from love. And look to me for your response. Be grateful for these opportunities. Using these opportunities in this way will teach you you do not know. And you will find peace. Letting go of your point of view will move you toward peace. And I think this is wonderful that she's having this clarity coming to her about letting go of her point of view. It seems like, and I could be misquoting, it seems like Robert Adams once said, every point of view is a wrong point of view. Every point of view is a wrong point of view. And it's kind of funny because obviously when we have a point of view, we think we're right. That's exactly what we think. Right. So I think we probably all know this experience that Joanne and Joe, by the way, don't you think that's funny? They're married, Joanne and Joe. Anyway, you hear the commonality in the names there. You know, that Joanne and Joe have this experience that they have of having different points of views and then maybe getting into a debate. I think we've all had that experience in our lifetime, right? And I remember when the clarity started coming to me that I needed to drop my points of view, my opinions. And it was hard. It took a long time of a lot of willingness, a lot of finding myself getting into the story and then backing out of the story again, you know, dropping it. It's difficult to let go of our points of view, to let go of our opinions, not only because we think we're right, and we do, but because some of it the mind says is important, and because we get our identity from it. This is who I am. So we have, I think I'm right, I think this is important, and I think this is who I am. All involved in those points of view, which makes it very, very tough to drop those points of view. But if you really listen to those three points, you can hear ego in every one of them. I think I'm right. I think this is important. And I think this is who I am, right? And that's what points of view do. They keep us stuck in those three positions. So it is important to learn to listen. To allow people to have a different point of view from you and to not need to say a thing. I have learned how to talk to people in a way that doesn't actually express a point of view, although sometimes they don't notice. You know, for example, I might say, oh yeah, I saw on the news today that, you know, President Trump and the two, the head of Democratic Congress and the head of the Democratic Senate had an argument today about the wall and whether they should shut down the government or not. See, I'm not expressing opinion. Listen to this very carefully. Oh, I saw on the news today that President Trump and the head of the Democratic Congress and the head of the Democratic Senate got in an argument today about the wall and shutting down the government. Did you hear an opinion in that? So I've learned that I can converse with people, you know, that want to converse with me on these levels without stating a point of view or an opinion. The funny thing is sometimes they still interpret a point of view or an opinion. I think that's funny. I had a conversation at Thanksgiving with a relative of mine that I really haven't been around in many, many years and barely spoken to in my entire life, to be honest. But he is a relative. and we were sitting at the table, and I don't remember how the conversation got to this point, but it got to taxes, you know, and the fact that everybody's taxes were supposed to be lower this year. And I commented that, I said, oh yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I said, actually my, what was taken out of my check went up. And he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, they got rid of the head of household. They got rid of the head of household designator for taking money out of the check. I don't know about for when you actually file the taxes, but for taking the money out of the check, they got rid of head of household. There's only single and married, and I used to use head of household. So now I file, I'm under single, and they take more out of my check. And he got very upset. I think he thought that I was calling Trump a liar or something. See, when I was only stating, this is what happened, right? So even with that, sometimes people get upset, and then you need to even shift out of that. But there are ways to have conversations with people, you know, that you, you know, that are just in the world without stating a point of view. And that's what I call stating your stating observations. There's a big difference between an observation or a point of view. An observation, I saw on the news today that Donald Trump and the head of the Democratic Senate and the head of the Democratic Congress got in an argument about the wall and shutting down the government. You know, if you listen very carefully to that, there's absolutely no point of view there. So start paying attention to the difference between a point of view and an observation, and when you need to speak and when you don't need to speak, and you'll find yourself letting go of ego very quickly. I will say that one place that I've noticed a lot of spiritual people get caught up in, you know, they're letting go in every other area, but they can't seem to let go here, is politics. So be aware of that. There's someone else who would like to share. Actually, I should get into gallery view. I'm sitting here looking at Shauna, although I love Shauna, but maybe I should see more of you. There you guys are. Now I see more of you. I was looking at Shauna and George and Don, because they were the last three to speak, so they were showing up in my gallery view. Hi, Marge. Hi, Francine. And I think probably everybody else has their camera off. Well, Jacqueline, I see Jacqueline, but I said I spent the morning with her. I guess that's why I left her out. I was like, okay, there you are again. I've been with you, well, all morning in physical body, and then this afternoon in Zoom in a meeting. So it's like I've been with her all day. Here comes Carla. Hey, Carla. Nice to see you. Okay, Francine has her hand up. So Francine, please go ahead.
All right. So this is, Dear Jesus, what am I to do today? I feel so overwhelmed with thoughts. I have not done my homework in weeks except for meditation. Now I've done some, but I wasn't doing it as I should have, could have. I need to let go of my attraction to thoughts and problem solving. Is there anything you want to share with me? Dear child, Today you are to give no attention to your thoughts. You are the only Son of God, pure and simple. Cast not your attention in a world where there are no answers, only problems. Let me direct all your moves. My guidance is perfect for your awakening. If you want to make progress on the spiritual path, look at your fear. It is what is causing your suffering. Let it go as meaningless. Rejoice that I am here with you every moment, ready to guide you. Look at your resistance. It is caused by fear. The fear that you are experiencing is within you, not out in the world. Therefore, don't look at the world for solutions. Look within yourself. Sit there quietly with me and let my love wipe out your fear. I am waiting for you to let me take over your life. It starts by letting me look at your fear with you. This is a very big step that you are ready to take. This step can change everything. This step can transform you and set you free. You think that because you have health issues, you cannot be happy in this world. You think you have to solve many perceived problems in order to follow your path consistently. This is not the case. Let go of that belief. That belief is ego-driven and will take you deeper into suffering. Be honest with yourself as you go through your days. This is a moment-to-moment process well worth your time and energy. Relax with me today and let go of everything that obstructs your vision. There is an expression in your world that says, you are what you eat. I say, you are what you think. This is not your ultimate truth, but it is your experience. It separates you from yourself and makes you feel small. Trust me in all things, child. I am here for you and I love you deeply. So I did that, and I spent a lot of time this week reading in the Inner Ramana, because I was backed up with that. And I did a lot of meditation. I did practice the mantra, which, and then I take a deep breath, look at the, say the mantra, and then I look back at the thought, but usually it's gone. If I notice the chatter first, if I look at the chatter first, and then I take a deep breath, do the mantra, I can remember it better. But otherwise, it's kind of gone. But anyway, it's I am getting better, and things are working out pretty good right now. So thank you for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Francine. And that's okay if you want to look and then say the mantra. That's fine. It's really just doing those two things that are important. You know, obviously, whenever you guys are reading NTI or the teachings of Inner Ramana, what you're really reading is guidance that was most specifically tailored to me. And so if your genuine intuition is to do it a little differently because that works fine for you, that's fine. You know, just of course know the difference between your intuition and your resistance and your I think I know and all that stuff. But you know, feel free to follow your own guidance, obviously. So thank you very much. There was something else you said somewhere in the middle that sparked something I was going to share, but I've, like you, Francine, that thought is already gone. I've already forgotten. So I didn't grab it at the time. I didn't take a note or anything. So maybe tomorrow night at dinner, you can share it with me again, and maybe it will pop back what I wanted to say and I can share with you. Hello, Jay. And let's see. Hello, Sharon. Yeah, it's nice all sitting here together, isn't it? Looking at one another. All right. I thought I saw a hand go up real quick, but it went down so fast I didn't even see the name. So maybe it was an accident. Now I could take one more sharing if there's one more person who wants to share. If not, I'll move into my sharing. Okay, and I want to say thank you to Lene, because Lene also shared some wrote in, and I've read everything that she shared. Thank you, Lene. And I will go ahead and begin my sharing then. This week we began the week with day 302. And what we saw in the tip for day 302, Inner Ramana said there are really two paths to awakening, which is kind of interesting because, you know, it seems like there could be many, many, many. But if you really look at these two paths that Inner Ramana talked about, you might realize, oh, yeah, it's true. It's really kind of one or the other, even though, you know, maybe a Buddhist path or a Christian path, or, you know, it kind of comes down to these two things. And those two things were surrender or withdrawing from the world. Those were the two options. And in fact, the Buddhist path is actually, although not everybody does it this way, the Buddhist path is the path of withdrawing from the world, right? If you were to be a pure Buddhist, you're talking about hours and hours of meditation per day. That's withdrawing from the world. It's also true of the yogi path, right? The Hindu yogi path is a path of withdrawing from the world, right? Hours and hours and hours a day spent in meditation. And as I pointed out in the tip, this is really what Michael Langford teaches. I've used Michael Langford's books in Gentle Healing Year One because he is so clear in the way he writes. But whenever I was asking you to read, I didn't really, some of you may have gone on and read it, but I was, because he numbers the sentences, I was able to say things like read sentence 1 to 75 or something. And I usually tried to stop the reading before he got into the part where he's telling you to meditate 12 hours a day. Because I thought that would freak some of y'all out and you'd run away from Gentle Healing screaming. But the truth is, that's what you have to do if your path is the path of withdrawing from the world, right? And that is a valid path, is what Inner Ramana is saying. Of course, Inner Ramana is going to say that, because guess what? That was Ramana Maharshi's path, right? Ramana Maharshi spent umpteen years in silence without speaking to people in a cave meditating. But he says the other path is surrender. And the advantage of the surrender path is the surrender path is the path that works for those of us who somehow life just is not handing us the opportunity to withdraw from the world. You know, my personal guidance, and I'm very sure that this is guidance. I have no questions in my mind that this is coming from ego or from ambition or anything like that. You know, my personal guidance from the time guidance has begun has been a doing, right? I move. I ride in TI. I have a very rocky relationship with Laurent. And then I write Inner Ramana, and then I come to Pueblo and I have 3 or 4 years of guests in my house. And then I did get 1 year off of silence, 2000. And then I'm guided to start Awakening Together and then guided to start a retreat house. I mean, this is a very active life. And there's just no way that I can do the path of withdrawing from the world. But as we learned in the message, the circus and the meadow, freedom does not come from partial abidance. Only one who totally abides as the self can be totally free, right? And so if I'm going to be so dang active, and apparently I'm going to be that dang active, that's what's happening. I didn't even mention the fact that, you know, I have a daughter. I did have a dog. I don't anymore. One less responsibility, but, you know, other stuff going on. I have a boyfriend of 28 years. If I'm going to be so active, I need a way to remain in total abidance while moving around, right? I need a way to be as concentrated as the yogi in the cave even though this body is constantly doing things. And that's what surrender is for, right? Surrender is living from within, from intuition, instead of from the ego, from the chattering mind. So with the practice of surrender, if you really dedicate yourself to the practice of surrender and get really good at the practice of surrender, you can be as concentrated as the yogi who's sitting in the cave. In effect, you're doing the same thing, right? You're being as concentrated as the yogi who sits in the cave, but your little body is moving around doing whatever your little body is supposed to be moving around doing. So these are the two paths, the surrender, which I call the path for the active person, and withdrawing from the world, which is the path for the person who has the ability to embody, be inactive, or at least inactive for many, many hours every day. One thing I want to say about surrender, because I'm sure you guys have been noticing, probably both with surrender and the mantra, you've probably been noticing that you're not very good at it. And I don't mean that as a judgment. Just, you know, it's just, I mean, isn't that true? Isn't that just what's going on? And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why you're not very good at it. Most of you are just beginning. Your whole life, you know, if your mama had taught you from the time you were a little bitty baby how to ask within, you'd be good at it. But that's not what our moms taught us. Sorry, Marge. It's not what our moms taught us, right? Our moms did not teach us from the time we were little bitty babies to be surrendered. You know, they taught us to look out, to think, to judge. They even taught us certain opinions that we're supposed to have, to think like them, right? And so, and how old are you guys? How many years have you been living that way? You know, and now you're attempting to turn that around and to practice surrender. Your brain has not been programmed for surrender. The good thing is the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, isn't true. That is not a true saying. Actually, the brain is malleable until the day you die. They do say that it takes older people longer to learn because, but they learn just as well. That's really important. It takes an older brain learns more slowly than a young brain, but it learns just as well, right? So what's happening whenever we are at least trying to surrender, when we are surrendering to the best of our ability, when we're doing it every time we remember to do it, is we are actually reprogramming the brain. And so if you just keep trying, you know, even if you have to do this for a year, right? Don't give up. If you just keep trying, what happens is that brain is being reprogrammed with what I call a surrender program. And when the brain is reprogrammed with the surrender program, surrender actually becomes natural. In fact, you just naturally, without even thinking about it, your attention goes in, you know, before you speak, before you do, right? It's just, you're checking for those instructions before you do anything. You know, so before you started to share a political point of view, for example, you'd be checking in for instructions and, you know, you might get that instruction, just let it go. And then you just let it go. You now have a very, very well grooved in the brain surrender program. And I think it's important to understand these technicalities, because otherwise you could just tell yourself after 2 or 3 days of forgetting to surrender that you suck. You're never going to get this, and you could quit. And guess what happens if you quit? That surrender program never gets written, right? Hey, Manuela. Yay, I love Zoom. So it's really important that you do your best, even if your best doesn't appear to be that good in your mind's own judgment, right? Because as you're doing your best, that brain is being reprogrammed. And that's why this statement is true. As you do your best gets better, right? Because literally the program is being written and it gets better and better and better. So just keep doing your best. Another thing that was in day 302 was a reminder that even if we're totally deluded, let's say we're the most wrong-minded people on the planet, which isn't true, of course, but let's just say it is for a moment. Let's say we're the most wrong-minded people on the planet. We're totally deluded. We're completely screwed up. We're still life awareness, which means everything that we're giving our believing attention to is creating in some way, right? That's really important to remember. If you can remember that no matter how screwed up you are, you're still pure life awareness, that might give you the motivation to try surrender even more. Because I think the truth is every one of us have really good hearts or we wouldn't be here. And there isn't one of us that wants to contribute to the appearances that we see out there, you know, like war and, you know, kidnapping and disease and, you know, just on and on and on. You know, we don't want to be a part of that. But when we are focused on our wrong-minded thoughts, we are a part of that, right? Surrender. When you surrender, you are not participating in the creation of that wrong-minded, those wrong-minded appearances, because you aren't giving your believing attention to it. So there's really two reasons to surrender. One is it's a path of awakening. The other is that it takes you out of the process of creating those wrong-minded appearances. You're still moving about in the world. You're still doing things. You look like everybody else. But since you're not giving believing attention to mental chatter, as Peace Pilgrim would put it, you're no longer a part of the problem. You're a part of the solution. Those were her words to describe that. So what Inner Ramana asked us to do last week, and I'll go ahead and just review that now, what he asked us to do is to go ahead and live as if we are self-realized. Do you remember that? Right now, you don't have to be self-realized to live as if you are self-realized. The first way to live as if you are self-realized is to remember one very simple rule. Your upset never comes from anything or anyone in the world, ever. It's such an easy rule because it has no exceptions, right? It'd be a problem if it had exceptions, except when this happens or when this happens, or if the, you know, if the stars are in that direction, then you'd have to be figuring out, boy, is this one of the times that I'm upset by the world, or is this one of the times that it's my thoughts, right? The good news is there is no exception to the rule. If you are upset, it's because of what's going on within you, because of what your thoughts are telling you, how it's being interpreted, what you're believing about it, right? And so the way you live as if you are self-realized is you don't go around trying to change the outer in order to make you feel better. Instead, you do all of your focus on the inner to get to peace. And you remember last week I used the example with Anne. She had on that orange-red scarf, and I pretended like that was bothering me. Like, oh, I'll take that scarf off. Okay, thank you. Now I feel better. If you have to go around telling people to be different in order for you to feel better, you are not living as if you're self-realized, right? You're living as if you're self-realized when you accept everyone as they are, and then you're looking at your upsets. And think about the people, now some of you I know live alone, but think about the people you live with, because those are the ones, well, as the Course would say, are our best teachers. But what that really means is those are the ones we tend to want to change the most. Can you just be quiet for a moment? I'm trying to think, right? You be quiet, then I can be at peace, right? Right? That's not living as if you're self-realized. You're over there chattering, chattering, chattering. While I'm trying to contemplate, I'm getting upset. I need to look at my upset. You see? That's living as if you're self-realized. So rule number one is the upset does not ever come from the world. Number two is surrender. You know, just like Inner Ramana asked us, what am I to do? What am I to think? How am I to see this? How am I to respond? What do you want me to see that I'm not seeing, right? Live from surrender, because if you're not living from surrender, you're living from the ego. Those are the only two options. There's no in between. So you're either living from intuition or you're living from believing attention on mental chatter, right? And obviously living from believing attention on mental chatter is not living as if you're self-realized. So you live from intuition. You live from that checking within, right? And feeling what feels right in that direction. And then acting and speaking from that. And that's living as if you're self-realized. And then the third practice was the mantra. And the purpose of the mantra in this case was to shift your attention from mental chatter to silence, right? So whenever you notice, you know, that your mind is chatter, 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 and you're listening to it as if it is me thinking, you just pause. You know, if you can, close your eyes. If you can't, eyes open are fine. Like Francine said, maybe take a breath. I am that I am. And then just stay in the silence. Stay in the awareness of awareness. Stay in the, you know, like as soon as I said that, first of all, my hands lit up. I feel a vibration in my hands. My heart lit up. I've got a lot of things to pay attention now besides mental chatter. I can pay attention to this tingling in my hands. I can pay attention just to the quiet around me. You know, there's always lots and lots of things for awareness to pay attention to. This is what the message, the circus in the meadow, was pointing out. It talked about, you know, the circus, of course, was the mind. You know, we love the circus with all the tumbling, the twists and the turns and all of that. But Inner Ramana said, but the meadow is, I don't remember the exact word that was used, the meadow was wonderful too, right? There's a lot happening in the meadow too, it said. Well, there is. There's so much to just be aware of when you're awareness. You know, in fact, if you sit in a meadow, if you just sit in a meadow and be still, you're going to notice every breeze, every insect, every breath. You know, you're going to notice everything. There is so much going on sitting in a meadow, doing absolutely nothing. So, living as if you're self-realized includes saying that mantra, shifting out of mental chatter into awareness, and then abiding as awareness, right? And then, you know, when the attention goes back to the mental chatter, same thing. Say the mantra again. I am that I am. Then abide as yourself, as awareness. So three practices. Remember that your upset never comes from the world, anything in the world, or anyone. Practice surrender. Practice the mantra, which really practice the mantra means abide as awareness instead of with attention lost in the chattering mind. Day 303. I just gave you a list of spiritual practices, just kind of a summary of this we're practicing now. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up on my phone. Oh, wait, that's the old website, which doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, the message this day was true understanding comes from seeing, which is really what Jill demonstrated in what I read, you know, when she couldn't, the guidance wasn't coming, and then she closed her eyes and went in and experienced it directly. But here are the practices that I listed for you. This is what we're doing right now. daily reading and contemplation, journaling with inner wisdom, awareness watching awareness meditation, practicing the loving all method, practicing surrender, practicing the mantra, and looking at the chatter to notice the I or the me content in the chatter, how I'm believing that it's me thinking. Now that sounds like quite a list, but what's happening is we are learning to live in spiritual practice. Again, it's kind of the same thing as sitting in the cave, meditating all day, except instead of meditating, we're walking around, being with families, being with jobs. But we have all of these spiritual practices, some of which require some sitting every day, right? The daily reading and contemplation, the journaling, and the awareness watching awareness. Those three require some time sitting every day. But then the rest of us, the loving all method, surrender, the mantra, and looking at the chatter to notice the me content, those practices go with us. And it's these practices that bring us to all of the insights that we need in order to lead us to realization, which is what this message was about. True understanding comes from seeing. You know, we can't learn this from a book. We've been using books. We've used A Course in Miracles. We've used NTI. And now we're using Inner Ramana. But we are at the end of our learning period. Next year, I'm not giving you any book to read and learn from. I'm not going to be writing any tips to teach you. Next year, we're going to use the book called The 7 Steps to Awakening. It's a book published by Michael Langford, but it's a book of quotes from sages like Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, and others. And what we're going to be doing is contemplating a mere 4 quotes today. And nobody's going to teach you a thing. That's the stage we're moving into. It's really the stage of contemplation, meditation, and abiding in practice. The learning is over. Contemplation, in order to access your own inner wisdom. Meditation, in order to spend focused time on awareness, watching awareness. And in spiritual practice, that'll live as if you are self-realized. And that's the stage we're moving into. And that's what this message is pointing at when it says that the true understanding comes from seeing, not from learning. It's going to be from the living of it, right? The living as if we're self-realized is where the experience of being self-realized will come from. On day 304, what we looked at is that the mind is constantly assigning an identity. And I don't know if you all paused and really noticed this, but it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. You know, like, you know, 1 minute, you know, you're good looking, right? 1 minute, you're really this good looking person. The next minute, oh my God, you're the ugliest person around. 1 minute, you know, you're in pretty good shape. You know, been eating right, everything feels good. The next moment, you're a fat slob. 1 moment, you're really sharp, you're smart, you're figuring things out. The next minute, you're the stupidest person in the room. Right? Like, it's just ridiculous. It's not at all consistent about your identity, but there's a constant identity. You're the one that's good looking. You're the one that's ugly. You're the one that's in good shape. You're the one that's fat. You're the one that's smart. You're the one that's stupid. It's always telling you who you are. And like I said, it's not at all consistent in the identity. What it's very consistent in is an identity, right? Any identity you'll listen to, it wants to keep telling you who you are. And if you keep believing all of these ridiculous identities, what you miss is what you really are. So you need to start paying attention to the identity messages. And they're sly. They're sly. Sometimes the identity message comes up, you know, oh my God, look what a horrible dresser she is. Well, what's the identity in that? I'm dressed good, right? You know? So the identity messages can be very, very sly. But you want to start catching on to them and noticing. In fact, one of the things Inna Ramana has said earlier in the book is when you notice these identity messages, just say, I am not that. And then say, I am that I am. It doesn't matter whether it's telling you you're smart or you're stupid. I am not that. I am that I am. Right? It doesn't matter if it's telling you that you're good looking or ugly. I am not that. I am that I am. You see, I am that I am has none of that in it. And where sometimes, of course, people don't embrace this practice fully is that they're willing to say I am not that to the negative messages, but they still want to embrace the positive messages. They're all identity messages. That's the way you need to see it. They're all identity messages. Whether I think I'm smart and good looking and better than everybody else, that's still ego. <You know? laughs> Right? That's still ego. So I am not that. Even smart, good looking, and better than everybody else. I am not that. I am that I am. You know? Day 305, we were asked to look at what resists practice. How many people here have been absolutely perfect in your contemplation, your journaling, and your meditation every day? Yeah. So yeah, this is the way it is. I get that. But what is it that resists the practice? You know, what we're being asked to do now is to start questioning that. What is it that says I don't have time, or you know, I've got more important things to do, or whatever it says, you know, what is it? Because if we really look, it's the mind. Why does the mind want us to resist spiritual practices? Well, clearly, because the mind is going to end if we keep doing these spiritual practices. It's fighting for its life. And why are you listening to the mind? Because you think it's you, right? And this is what we have to see. When the mind says, I don't have time for this, I think I don't have time for this. You know, when the mind says, but I have time for 2.5 hours of TV, I think I have time for 2.5 hours of TV. See, we think it's me. It's not me. And one of the things that Ramana will bring you into more and more as you go forward is noticing the difference between you and the mind. But we really do think we are the mind, and that really is the problem. That's the problem. Again, the mind never says, I am thought. You know, that's a ridiculous idea. I am thought. It never says that. It's not that overt. But if you look, you're going to see that you think when the mind is chattering, you think I'm thinking, right? That means you do identify with thought. It kind of reminds me of in Revolver, in the scene when they were on that rooftop golfing and they're telling Jake Green all about the ego. And they say, and right now he's telling you that he doesn't even exist. And sure enough, there's this thought in the mind that Jake Green's having about, there's no such thing as an ego, right? So we have to be very, very careful. The ego is our identification with thought, or even put more clearly, the ego is me thinking I'm thinking when mental chatter is happening and I'm paying attention to it. That's the ego. Me thinking I'm thinking when mental chatter is happening and I'm paying attention to it. But I think it's me thinking. That's the ego. And then today there were just three quotes, one from Jesus, one from Nisargadatta, and one from Ramana Maharshi, all agreeing that because of our addiction to ego, we cannot wake up through our own power. That at some point we do need to be brought to surrender, and it needs to be a genuine surrender where we're not listening to our mind anymore, but we're listening to something else, because the mind cannot take us there. So that's it. We're out of time. In fact, we're over time, but sweet Shauna has given me permission to go over in order to finish my sentences. So next week's homework, you have several more messages you're going to read, including clarity on practice, how to awaken from the dream, how to awaken from the dream part two, self-inquiry, the love of discipline, truth made manifest, and extinguishment of the I thought. So seven inner Ramana messages, along with thoughts of awakening 309 to 315, daily meditation, and the loving all method. All right. And I will see you next week. And then we're off for 2 weeks because of when the holidays are. All right. Thank you very much. And I am releasing the mic.